It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts. Podcasts.
It is episode 15 of This Week in Fantasy. I'm your host, James Seltzer, as we head into the week 13 slate of the NFL season. Hard to believe that we are in the back quarter of the NFL season. Who would have thought it when we were talking about everything in the preseason, but let's get into it. We got a lot to get to. Sigmund Bloom was nice enough to give me a strong 20-plus minutes breaking down the entire Week 13 slate and kind of giving some names in each matchup that he's high on or low on. So really good stuff. So I'm going to get right into that. Good luck, obviously, to everyone in their playoff matchups if it's starting this week, or if not, then getting into the playoffs, a big week of fantasy football. So I won't take up too much of your time with my own nonsense. Let's get into Sigmund and see what Sigmund has to say. Again, a lot of good stuff. I was able to speak to Sigmund on Wednesday this week. So here he is, Mr. Sigmund Bloom.
And as always, I'd like to welcome in our weekly guest, my favorite part of the week. I look forward to chatting with this guy every week. You can see his stuff over at footballguys.com, hoopsguys.com. He's the co-owners over there. Of course, the Audible podcast 8 days a week. Yes, 8 days a week. 8 times 7 days a week. You can follow him on Twitter at his name, at Sigmund Bloom. Sigmund Bloom, how are you, brother? What's going on?
Good to be back. I'm mourning one of my teams, a league that I'm in, starts in week 13 playoffs. I missed by 3.8 points.
Ugh.
So I can now review every bad decision I made this year and think, if I had just done that or just done that or just done that. So we're sweating it out like everybody else.
Wow, that is the worst. You know, it's like it's almost easier if you're just out of it and you're
exactly.
Like, all right.
I could have been rebuilding my dynasty. It's a dynasty league.
That's even worse. You know, in season long, I was saying still, but yes, in a keeper league or a dynasty, you could at least start to look towards next year. But now it's like, it's frustrating. Well, I believe in you rebuilding the dynasty regardless. You are a dynasty builder. All right, Sigmund, I want to run through this slate here of the week 13 games. As like you said, a lot of people are either starting playoffs or the last week before the playoffs. In a lot of cases, it's going to be a big time week for a lot of people. So I want to help everyone as much as we can. I want to go through. I'm going to go through each game this week. We've got the last two buys: Cleveland, Tennessee. Obviously, Weird Dev week 13 buys, but I want to go through the slate, and I'm just going to give you each game, and I want you to, and it could be the top guy or it could be a lower guy, whatever. I want you to give me the best value play in your mind, like the best play of the game. All right. Let's start with Kansas City at Atlanta, starting the 1 o'clock slate.
I like Tyreek Hill in this game just to keep his momentum going. Kansas City will be playing from behind, and we've seen when that happens, Hill gets a ton of targets. So some people might be scared off of him if Jeremy Maclin is back, but I think you can't put this genie back in the bottle. And on that fast track in Atlanta, he's liable to put up a multi-touchdown game again.
Yeah, interesting game there with Taylor Gabriel on the other end too, obviously, right. Is that similar type of guy. So, and you had said last week, if people had listened last week to Sigmund telling everyone just go pick up Taylor Gabriel, you would have gotten a sweet game from Taylor Gabriel this past week. All right, Detroit, New Orleans.
Mark Ingram. I think that people still see this as a timeshare, and they're maybe a little afraid of Ingram. I still had a question this week, Ingram or Hightower. He is playing, and I hate this, because for fantasy football, we don't want coaches to feel encouraged to bench running backs when they fumble, but wow, did it work. And Ingram's playing the best football of his career since that happened. So I think that Ingram is going to continue to roll. And New Orleans offense obviously tends to overperform at home, so that also helps the case of really any New Orleans Saint. Also, not so much a value play, but I would go with Brandon Cooks in the squeaky wheel theory here, that now that he's complaining about his role, he should get his this week.
Yeah, I agree, especially after the zero targets last week. The surprise, rough week if you were trying to get in the playoffs as a Brandon Cooks owner last week. But Mark Ingram, partially submarine, one of my keeper league teams. So thanks for that, Mark. I'm happy you're playing well now, but he is. All right, Los Angeles heading to New England.
Deion Lewis is ready to break out. His touches are going up. I think that he has knocked off all the rust now, and he's facing a Rams defense that has given up three receiving touchdowns to running backs in the last 3 weeks, including that Tim Hightower play when he got out of the backfield. Ingram had an easy time scoring on a screen pass. Bilal Powell scored on a reception in week 10 against Los Angeles. I think it was the only touchdown of the game. So I think Deion Lewis has a really good chance to score in this game and finally be worth putting in our lineups.
Yeah, I love that call. He's so explosive and such a difference maker when he's, you know, well, as it were. So seems like a good game to get him involved. And obviously Los Angeles coming off that ugly defensive showing last week in New Orleans. All right, Denver heading to Jacksonville.
Let's go with Devontae Booker here. Nobody in Jacksonville. The Denver defense. How about the Denver? Like, in your DFS lineups, play the Denver defense.
That was where I was going to go. I love that call.
So, but you could do like a Booker Denver defense stack. And not that Booker's going to necessarily run for a lot of yards in this one, but he could get opportunities to score multiple touchdowns, because I would expect this is going to be when it rains, it pours on Blake Bortles' head in this one game.
Yeah, I love that call, especially the defense too part. I think they'll be able to run the ball just be able to have a solid showing all around, but the defense call is a terrific call. It's definitely the week to pay up for Denver and DFS. All right, Houston heading to Lambeau.
I will say the DeAndre Hopkins. I think that, and you follow me here, I think, and I like Green Bay's defense if you have to pick one off the waiver wire. I know those things don't seem to go together, but Green Bay at Lambeau, always better. You know, they usually, their defense usually comes up with a few plays every time they're at home. I would expect that Aaron Rodgers will be able to have success against Houston. I don't think that Houston matches up well. I don't think any team is matching up well against Rodgers when he's playing the way he's playing lately in this offense. And I would expect by the third or fourth quarter, Brock Osweiler is passing against prevent defenses. And with the Green Bay corners depleted, that's going to make it easy for DeAndre Hopkins. So I actually think DeAndre Hopkins is going to finally redeem himself this week, only because of how bad Brock Osweiler is.
Wow. I love that. It was good to put the follow me there. You needed to follow. That was, I love that. Circuitous route to the point there. And yes, I see. I agree with what you're saying, though. It's a shame that the Eagles don't have any professional receivers who could have taken advantage of that. Speaking of which, I wish we could skip this game, but the Eagles heading to Cincinnati.
Let's say stick with Dorial Green-Beckham, who woke up, and we'll see about Jordan Matthews and his practice participation this week. But what I like is that Cincinnati has been a team that has given up some big games to downfield receivers. We saw Manuel Sanders had a couple of touchdowns against them, and Demaryius Thomas did. Sammy Coates had a couple of big catches against them. I think that he can win. Green Beckham can win one-on-one in this matchup. Although I agree with you, this is a game that maybe the beginning of the season we would have thought would have had playoff implications. But now we're just looking for – we're sifting through the dirt to find a fantasy play or two on these teams with no A.J. Green.
Yeah, it's a tough one here. And DGB, though, did show a little something recently, obviously, as you said, in that game against Green Bay. That one drive, he looked very impressive. So we'll see. Fingers crossed. Miami heading to Baltimore. Another kind of ugly offensive potential game here.
Yeah, I like Kenny Stills in this one. Devontae Parker's missed practice with a back issue. He hasn't been a fast healer. Baltimore's run defense is so good that I would expect Ryan Tannehill to throw the ball 35 or 40 times. And Stills, sometimes, you know, the well comes up dry, but he has scored a handful of long touchdowns this year, and I would expect him to have a chance to do that in this one with Tannehill probably throwing a lot more than usual.
Yeah, another one where also, and I like that call there, and another one where potentially both defenses solid DFS plays as well. San Francisco heading to Chicago in another ugly-ish kind of game here.
Let's stick with Marquise Wilson.
Yeah, I like that call.
Well, he and Barkley obviously have chemistry. San Francisco's pass defense is terrible. And I don't see any reason to expect this one. Now, Barkley's not going to throw 54 times. But remember that Wilson dropped a touchdown in that game, too, where he would have had one of the biggest weeks of Week 12. So I think with that momentum, people might not see it coming. But I would think there's more reasons to think it will be a similar game where he's targeted a lot than a game where he fades back into the background.
Yeah, terrific DFS play there as well. And
Barkley Wilson stack.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, it's crazy. You're telling Eagles fans to put any faith in Matt Barkley. They would have told you, you know, whatever. But he certainly looked like he could get it done the other night. All right, Buffalo heading to Oakland, the 9-2 Raiders. How about that?
Yeah. Oh, I was so ready to say Sammy Watkins. And then he has to have a practice end prematurely.
I know.
So Sammy. We'll wait
Sammy,
and see.
Sammy.
We'll wait and see.
He's a heartbreaker.
Let's say LeSean McCoy, because we saw Jonathan Stewart get some big creases against Oakland's defense. And I do think that LeSean McCoy showed us last week that he still got some juice in that jump cut. With that seven, you know, I think he had like 28 yards on 18 carries and then the 75 yarder. But with that right side of Oakland's defense, we saw Stewart have some big runs against them. McCoy can take those big runs and take them to the house.
Yeah, he would look good in an Eagles uniform right now. All right, let's head out to, there's your squad. Pittsburgh hosting the New York Giants.
I like Ladarius Green to break out in this game.
Ooh, I like that.
We saw him on Thanksgiving get open downfield easily twice. My colleague Matt Waldman has shown that they're using him the right way, getting him split in man-on-man matchups, because he's not really good at finding soft spots and zones, but he can beat his guy. Like, if there's a guy that has to run with him and jump with him, Ladarius Green's fine. That's how the Steelers are using him. And I expect this to be a high-scoring game between the Steelers and Giants.
Yeah, potential under-the-radar play. Another squeaky wheel oil type thing with Sterling Shepard.
Yes. He apologized.
That's what I was going to say, because Eli came out and he apologized to him, right, for not throwing to him?
Yeah, that's a telltale sign there.
Yeah, agreed. All right, moving on to Arizona hosting a potent Washington passing game.
Let's say Rob Kelly.
Ooh, I like it.
Only because I think people were going away from him. But it's easy to forget that last week Atlanta scored 3 times on the ground against them. Matt Asiata, and we know how bad Minnesota's running game is, and Matt Asiata's been stoned at the goal line many times this year. He scored in week 11. Jonathan Stewart scored twice on the ground against them in week 8. So this is actually a defense that is somewhat tough to pass on. But when you get down to the goal line, sometimes, you know, LeSean McCoy had 2 touchdowns against them earlier this year. Mm-hmm. This is a defense that can give up some big games to running backs because of their propensity for giving up those touchdowns.
Yeah, and Kelly, a big back. He'll definitely get the goal line carries. I like that call. All right, last of the 4 o'clock window games there. San Diego hosting the Bucks.
I think this will be a very – well, let's wait and see on Tyrell Williams' practice participation, but – I could see Dontrell Inman having a good game here because Travis Benjamin's hurt. It looks like Tyrell Williams is going to play through his shoulder issue, but playing through it and playing effectively through it are 2 different things. And Phillip Rivers is a good quarterback. He's going to find the open receiver. Even though Tampa Bay's defense has come alive, they still have suspect players in that secondary. So I think Dontrell Inman, we've seen him, you know, put on a double move and get a long touchdown. I think that you may see him as the number one receiver for Phillip Rivers this week.
Wow, that would be a terrific DFS play, obviously, and probably a guy you might be able to get in some leagues for your your potential playoff week or whatever. So that's a great one there. All right, Sunday nighter, talk about a game that we thought would have at least playoff implications for both teams. Looks like it only has it for one. Carolina heading to Seattle.
I'm so tempted. This is going to be the week Tyler Lockett does. It's this week.
I know, right? Yeah, he's Christine Michael, the new Christine Michael.
But I will say that, you know, just say with Doug Baldwin and Russell Wilson, for that matter, this will be a bounce back game for them.
Yeah.
Offensive line is still somewhat suspect, but I do think that the secondary in Carolina can be taken advantage of, and they will do that.
Yeah, and I like that call also for DFS. Like, you'll oftentimes see that kind of groupthink where if a lot of people are on someone some week or on a stack one week and it doesn't perform, they'll back off it the next week no matter what the matchup is. So I think that's a potential nice play there. All right, let's round it out with another. It seems like we have quite a few ugly games this week. Indy heading to the Jets.
Hey, Indy. So here's our dream scenario. Colts beat the Jets.
Yes.
And Houston loses.
Oh,
Green
my
Bay,
God. And Indy's in
and
first
we have
place.
3-6-16.
Oh, that's amazing.
The sprint down the most exciting division in football.
Real AFC quick, who do you think wins the slot division if you had to bet right now?
You know, Indy has Houston and Jacksonville at home, but they have to go to Minnesota and Oakland. So that kind of disqualifies them. Tennessee still has Denver, and they have to travel to Kansas City. So almost by – I mean, are we going to see Brock Osweiler in the playoffs again? Because they play Indy and Tennessee, but both on the road. But then they get Jacksonville and Cincinnati at home.
Oh, man.
And both of those teams – so the schedule really benefits Houston here. So it's almost like we have to be resigned to the idea. We might see a 7-9 team make it.
I think we really might. I personally think that Tennessee is the best of the teams, but
– right.
Who the hell knows? All right. Anyway, back to fantasy.
Yeah, back to that game. Matt Forte. And just because, you know, we try to time this, but this looks like a game where the Jets will be competitive, and Forte should get his 20 to 25 carries in this one. Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing better, and he's going to start. So it's actually Todd Bowles' teams don't give up. So I do think that you're going to see Matt Forte have a strong Monday night.
All right, let's get to the thing that everybody cares about the most. I don't know why we spend so much time talking about fantasy football. Let's get inside the mind. I'm going to give you some favorites again, Sigmund. I'm going to give you a four-pack here. I've got – it could not be a more random four-pack here, but I want to get your favorite of each of these four things in a very, as I said, eclectic and light. So who is your favorite superhero of all time and why?
Wow. You know, honestly, so I'll confess here and say I wasn't really a comic book guy or a superhero movie guy, but I'm going to, you know, take a little left turn here. But I was a big fan of Stallone and Schwarzenegger movies.
Ooh, I like this. Okay.
So probably my favorite was The Terminator. And even though he wasn't a quote unquote superhero, Arnold Schwarzenegger and The Terminator, like that's, I was totally captivated when I was like 8. Okay, so my parents let me watch anything I wanted, but
mine too.
Yeah, I'll be Bach.
That's awesome. Yes, and obviously T2 comes out and then takes the world by storm. That was when I was I can't remember how old, but I was like 9, 10, 11 somewhere in there, and that movie definitely changed everything. All right, let's take a left. Talk about left turns. Type of meat to eat.
Well, I mean, this is going to sound so pedestrian. I mean, I'll make it very specific.
Okay, your idea about buffalo your chicken, right?
Buffalo chicken.
I mean, okay, there we go. There we go.
Buffalo sauce is butter and cayenne pepper sauce, and that's it. I live down in Texas now because I went to Syracuse University where you got Sal's Birdland, like
sure.
One of the original places, and it's very simple. Buffalo sauce is very simple, and all these places have quote-unquote buffalo chicken, and they try to – no – Don't. It's very simple. So buffalo chicken is just anything that makes me sweat. I like food generally that is right up to that point of almost being uncomfortable and generally shocks your taste buds. So buffalo chicken is fantastic.
Yeah, I love the heat as well. And buffalo wings, actually, probably my favorite food, if well done enough. I like them well done. I'm strange like that. What was that? No. Well, I mean, I'll eat either, but I prefer without breading. But I can go either way. I'm not a stickler for that.
You're not a purist.
I'm not a purist. All right. Sigmund, again, left turn, maybe a right turn back to before. What is your favorite app?
I'm really primitive about apps and really primitive about using my smartphone to its greatest. So this is going to be really pedestrian. I someone who loves music, and occasionally we'll hear a song. Shazam is one of the original apps.
It's a terrific one.
Gee whiz about, but it's one of the ones I still use when I'll hear a song out and a song I'll change in between stations on the radio or something like that. It's probably one of the ones I've got the most use out of.
I will never not, until the day I die, no matter what technological advancements happen, I will never not be impressed by Shazam. It blows my mind every time. All right, Sigmund, last one. What is, it doesn't have to be made or came out in the last year, but what is the best movie you've watched in the past year?
The Witch.
Ooh, I saw The Witch. You're a horror fan.
I'm not, actually.
And that wasn't really horror. It was kind of billed as horror.
It was more like psychological horror.
Yes, yes.
Which is the best horror, because it actually gets under your skin, like Serpent in the Rainbow or The Believers, The Exorcist, where it's not exaggerated, because The Witch was written from accounts written in the 1600s of whenever, a community would believe, like a New England community would believe there was a witch, Salem witch trials and things like that. It was very fascinating because it takes speaking of left turns, there's a great twist at the end, and it changes the context of everything that you had seen before. And I think that it's funny that The Witch came out in the same year that new Radiohead album had Burn the Witch as that signature track, the first track that they released, the single with the great video that I think is based on, is it The Wicker Man? I think.
Yeah, The Wicker Man.
Based on. So, because The Witch and our attitudes towards The Witch represent our attitudes towards all of our dark side, towards the darkness in any and all of us. And we think that if we burn The Witch, that we've eliminated it, but really we've just fed it. And so I think that it's a movie that takes that theme. It's a really, really interesting movie to take apart from a textual point of view, looking at, cultural overtones for, female sexuality. Isn't that the most dangerous force in America?
And
in
the world? God, yeah. In female the history, sexuality. Maybe in the history of time,
Of humankind, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I highly recommend it. It was a movie that I think was under the radar a little bit, but certainly one that will stick with you.
Awesome, awesome stuff. That's why we love a favorite segment of the week here. So, Sigmund, thank you. Anything outside of hoopsguys.com, obviously footballguys.com, and the Audible?
No, just sweating out the playoff berths and matchups like everybody else. And, this is where we all rejoin and, we write our articles and do our shows and things like that. But fantasy football community is united through our nail-biting emotion.
I love it. All right. Again, follow him on Twitter at Sigmund Bloom. Sigmund, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
As always, awesome, awesome stuff from Sigmund. A couple things that happened since Sigmund and I spoke. Rob Gronkowski was obviously labeled out for the rest of the season, surgery and whatnot. Obviously a big bummer for any Gronk owners in season-long leagues who are still in competition. Obviously has not been the best year to own Gronk one way or the other, but Martellus Bennett's banged up, so for this week I'm still a little nervous about him, but it is good to own Bennett, because I do think in the playoff run, if he can get himself healthy, he should have a nice run here for you. And of course, Julian Edelman has to take a big bump up, but DFS especially, he's not priced nearly where he should be this week, considering the Gronk injury. So also Jordan Reed has been labeled out since Sigmund and I spoke. Vernon Davis, I think, is a terrific under the radar play this week, potentially available off waiver wires even, but certainly available, as a really, really cheap DFS option as well. So again, a lot of exciting stuff this week, and hopefully those who are fighting for the playoffs will find a way to make it through. And good luck to all those people. Very excited for you. And if you are already in the playoffs, then good luck in that, or good luck in your last week of just you know, shaping your roster for the run and hoping no one gets hurt. I always hoped and dreamed that we could find a way to get the NFL to bench our guys for us when we had a bye or a meaningless week before the playoffs. But shockingly, I was never able to make that happen. So again, good luck to everyone. We'll be back next week as we head into the playoff run and try and get you guys some titles because there's nothing better than a fantasy title. Flags fly forever, as I like to say. So again, for Mr. Sigmund Bloom, it's James Seltzer. This again has been episode 15 of This Week in Fantasy. Let me get that. Running her hands through my fro, bouncing on 24s. Why they say I'm ready? It's the remix to Ignition, hot and fresh out the kitchen. Mama rolling that body, got every man in here wishing. Sipping on coke and rum, I'm like, so what? I'm drunk. It's the freaking weekend, baby. I'm about to have me some fun. Bounce, 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 bounce. Come on, now it's like.